Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CEAT Limited Q2 FY22 results conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Agarwal from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of JM Financial, I would like to welcome you to 2Q FY22 post-results call of CEAT Limited. We have with us the senior management team from the company, represented by Mr. Anand Goenka, Managing Director, and Mr. Kumar Subbiah, Chief Financial Officer. I would like to thank the management for taking time out for this call. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Anand Goenka for his initial remarks. Over to you, Anand.
Thank you, Nitin. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to CEAT's quarterly earnings call. Thank you all for your time in joining us today. I'm Anand Goenka, and I have with me our CFO, Mr. Kumar Subbiah, on call with us. I hope all of you are all well. As usual, we'll start with a few brief remarks from me and Kumar, post which we'll be happy to take questions. The quarter started on a relatively positive note on the demand side as markets started opening up post-COVID wave two. In the replacement market, recovery was strong in the passenger segments, with demand going back to normal levels. Commercial segments, CV as well as the farm segment, were relatively weak. Overall for us, replacement volumes grew at about 23% sequentially, with a marginal decline of about 3% on a year-on-year basis. OEM volumes grew at about 35% sequentially and 17% year-on-year, on largely because of a lower base. Semiconductor shortages continue to impact recovery in the passenger OEM segment. Exports have continued to do well for us, with a sequential volume growth of about 10% and a year-on-year growth of almost 50%. Overall, we saw a sequential volume growth of about 23% year-on-year and 9% during the quarter. The demand situation looks positive. On the other hand, costs have continued to rise. Our raw material basket went up by about 6.5% sequentially on account of higher crude prices and logistical challenges resulting in higher freight rates. The increase was higher than our estimate of 5% at the beginning of the quarter. We took staggered price increases during the quarter to offset the impact, but these were not commensurate with the raw material inflation, and hence our gross margin contracted by about 1.8% over quarter one levels. Higher volumes helped in better absorption of fixed costs. As a result, our standalone EBITDA margin stood at 8.9%, slightly higher than quarter one. We ended our quarter with a standalone PAT of 36 crores. Our OEM strategy is playing out well, and we continue to strengthen this aspect of our business. We continue to do well on the passenger side, as well as continue to be a preferred partner in two-wheelers and three-wheelers in the e-mobility space. We've also revamped our CEAT shops with a more modern look and several customer-friendly features. The new design has been rolled out in select cities from August onwards. We continue to invest in marketing. We launched two major marketing campaigns this quarter, the Securra Drive for passenger car and UV tires, featuring our brand ambassador, Aamir Khan, and CEAT Grip X3 for two-wheeler tires. Both campaigns are focused on reinforcing CEAT's safer mobility brand appeal. IPL 2021 also resumed this quarter, and we continue to remain associated with the event as strategic timeout partners. On the digital side, our website was recognized as the best website of the year by CMO Asia. We continue to invest in digital as well as on ESG, environment, social, and governance. On the sustainability part, we've taken on many internal initiatives on improving our sustainability and carbon footprint in the company. On our diversity and inclusion journey, we've been recruiting about 30% of our new recruits are women. We've also had our first batch of 7 transgender associates joining SEAT this quarter. With this, I end our highlights, and I'll be happy to hand over the call to Kumar.
Thank you, Anand. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining our Q2 earnings call. I'll share some key financial data points with you all, post which we can enter the Q&A session. First one is on revenue. Our consolidated net revenue for the quarter stood at 2,452 crores in rupee terms, a sequential growth of about 29%, and year-on-year growth of about 24%. The revenue growth was driven by volume, price, and favorable product and category mix. On gross margin, our raw material cost continues to raise and impacting our gross margin. It stood at 37%, a sequential decline of about 203 basis points. Our blended raw material cost went up by about 6.5% in quarter two versus quarter two, quarter one. We took price hikes to the tune of anywhere between 4 and 5% during the quarter across most categories and segments. The price increases taken so far are not sufficient to cover our unprecedented commodity inflation we have seen in this financial year. And there is a need for further increases in the coming months to absorb the cost increases. Raw material scenario still remains challenging. As per our current market understanding, we expect our blended raw material cost to go up by another 4% in quarter three versus quarter two. I'll come to debt, capex, and working capital. Our debt during the quarter increased by about 219 crores on a sequential basis, largely driven by capex, payment of our annual dividend, and increase in the inventory levels and debtors. We incurred a total capex of about 226 crores during the quarter, which includes approximately about 150 crores towards our capacity expansion projects. And our project capex outlook for the current year still remains at around 1,000 crores. Our working capital, operating working capital, increased by about a little over 100 crores in the last quarter, largely due to higher inventory levels, both in raw materials as well as in finished goods, and also increase in receivables arising out of higher scale of operations. We are taking steps to reduce the both finished goods and raw material inventory in quarter three. Operational expenses in, during the quarter, as a percentage of turnover, was lower compared to quarter one, largely on account of higher scale of operations. Our advertisement costs returned to normal levels, increasing by about 70% over the previous quarter due to full-scale resumption of our marketing efforts and as well as IPL event that happened in quarter three. Employee costs declined by 3% sequentially, which is largely driven by reduction in some of the COVID norms related expenses. We continued our effort to optimize our rest of the operating costs. Along with some scale benefit, we are able to manage our EBITDA margin at quarter one levels. Our consolidated EBITDA stood at 225 crores in terms of percentage, about 9.2%. Coming to depreciation and interest cost, during the quarter, we recognized right of use asset under Ind AS 116, aggregating about 61 crores on the rental arrangements with CFAs, DCs, and OEM godowns. The same is accounted with effect from April 2021, with necessary accounting being done in the current quarter. While this does not have any impact on our profit before tax, it has led to higher depreciation to the extent of 20.45 crores during the quarter. As it includes the depreciation for quarter one, the approximate impact on a quarterly basis about 10 crores, and other expenses has come down equivalent to the same number. due to the above, our overall depreciation for the quarter moved up from about 96 crores to 121 crores. Since our debt has increased during the quarter, the finance cost has also gone up from about 46 crores in quarter one to around 50 crores during the quarter. During the quarter, in the month of September, on approval of by shareholders of our organization, we disbursed a dividend to the tune of 180% of our share capital, amounting to rupees 73 crores. Our consolidated profit for the quarter stood at 42.28 crores, and our effective tax rate for the quarter stood at 27%. And we would also like to update you on the credit rating. In the month of September, our annual credit assessment was carried out by India Rating, and we were affirmed credit rating of AA for long-term and A1 plus for short-term with stable outlook. With this, now let's open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. My first question pertains to the demand outlook. So do we expect the momentum which we are seeing on the replacement market to continue in second half, given that passenger vehicle demand continues to be strong, particularly on the replacement side, and any trends which we are seeing on CVs and farm side?
Yes, hi, Dinesh. So we are seeing an increased, good demand on the passenger side. This is in the replacement segment. Both two-wheeler and passenger car are looking good. Commercial vehicle has been slow and is still will take some time to pick up. Particularly for us on the truck buyer side, we are seeing a slowdown, whereas radial is seeing an uptick in terms of demand. Farm has also been under a little bit of pressure. Last year's base was very high. Farm demand both between OEM and replacement was kind of highest ever levels. So maybe on a higher base, there's some relatively year-on-year pressure on the farm side as well. On the OEM side, we are finding commercial vehicles picking up much better than last year, whereas there's some pressure on the passenger car and two-wheeler side because of the chip shortage issue. So, and overall, two-wheeler demand is looking slowing down on the two-wheeler side. So I think this is the overall outlook. Exports has generally been very strong all through the year. However, the challenge of container availability, freight rate increase is a challenge. But we are managing to show good growth despite these challenges.
Understood. And with respect to the price hikes, you indicated 4-5% price hikes taken in second quarter. I'm presuming average would be lower considering the timing differences. And expecting, so have you taken any further increases in October?
Yes, we've taken about a 2.5% in two-wheeler tires, about a couple of percentage points in passenger car as well, and about 3% in farm. This is what some of this has been taken in the middle of October, and some of it will be taken end of October. So 29th to the 1st of November will be on passenger car and farm, whereas two-wheeler, 2.5% has already been taken.
Okay. And after this price increase, there will be what, another 2-3% under recovery on account of commodity cost inflation, or it will be higher than that?
So we expect about a 3.5-4% increase in raw material in quarter three. That requires approximately about a slightly under 3% price increase to equate that. So yes, maybe another couple of percentage points are needed because TBB or truck radial is not included in what has been taken. So we do need at least a percentage and a half to 2% price increase between, say, November 1st and December to equate that.
Okay. Understood. And thirdly, on clarification on the depreciation part, so Kumar, you indicated it's about 10 crores is the difference because of the accounting issue, primarily 10 crores moving out of other expenses and coming to depreciation. Is that right?
Yeah, on a quarterly basis, that is the impact. But in the current quarter, we have done it effective 1st of April. So current quarter has 20 crores in it. But going forward, it will be about 10 crores per quarter.
Okay. Any sense on what would be our normalized run rate of depreciation, maybe say for FY 2023, given that by then we'll be having a large part of our capacities fully operational?
Okay. See, current quarter, I'll first explain current quarter, and then I'll also give you a broad outlook. Okay. Current quarter, our depreciation is about 120 crores. Okay. Just to make sure that it is comparable, you have to remove about 10 crores. Okay. So because it includes 10 crores relating to earlier quarter, then the number comes down to about 110, okay, and for the current quarter. In the current year, we would still incur CapEx as per the original plan, which we'll cover it separately. Okay. So, depreciation is linked to the assets that we capitalize. Okay. I expect depreciation to, in the event that we go ahead with all the CapEx and capitalize all the assets, et cetera, another about 15-20 crores kind of a depreciation impact could come in the next financial year progressively.
Okay. Additional 115-120 crores over FY 2022.
15-20 crores over and above the current quarter, per quarter.
Okay. 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 Got it. Last question on our current utilization rate. Can you share where are we with respect to utilizations in key segments?
Yeah. Utilization levels are relatively strong. They've done well in all the new capacities that we set up in Ambernath, which is our off-highway tire. We are nearly fully utilized. There's been a small expansion that we did a few months ago. Passenger car, we are also quite well utilized. Chennai is ramping up. Halol is fully utilized in passenger car segment, and Chennai is ramping up as we speak. I'd say we are today at about 80-ish% utilization. The area where we are underutilized is in truck bias. Truck radial also, we are ramping up.
Okay. On the two-wheeler side?
Two-wheelers are looking good demand. We'll be over 80% utilization.
Okay. Great. Thanks. I'll come back.
About 85-ish%.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thanks and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was on the gross margin. Would you say that, you know, almost all of it is because of raw material, or is there an angle of revenue mix also? Because, you know, if I look at your revenue mix, your replacement share has come down significantly, first half this year over first half of last year. Is the gross margin also because of this mix change, or is it entirely due to the raw material pressure?
No, it will be because of both, but I'd say this year we've come back to a normal mix. Last year, if you recollect, post-COVID, both OEM and exports were at very low levels with all the closures and shutdowns that were happening, whereas replacement market bounced back very well. To that extent, replacement was a very much higher share than normal. This quarter, I'd say it's more of a normal mix where replacement would be approximately, you know, closer to about 60% of our sales. You know, OEM will be closer to 25-26%, and export would be the balance. Roughly that's how we would be the normal kind of mix in today's terms. Some amount, yes, would be because of the mix, and some amount is raw material as well.
Okay. If I look at your other expenses, if I look at first half this year over first half last year, it seems that, you know, there is, I mean, almost no benefit coming from operating levels because obviously revenues have grown substantially because of the low base of last year. Other expenses have almost, you know, kept in line instead of. Is there something happening there, or was there some extra savings which happened last year because of the lockdown which are coming back now? How should we look at this operating leverage playing out as the revenues grow further from here?
Sure. Kumar, would you like to take that?
Yeah. No, one or two big ones I'll call out. Okay. The first one is that, in the quarter one of last financial year, okay, there was no IPL, one. Number two, our advertisement cost was zero. Okay, and because during COVID period, we did not spend anything. Similarly, in factories and all other locations, we had kept it almost as minimum as possible. We didn't run the plant, okay, and in quarter one. You see, in the way you see the profit and loss account, you know, during the quarter, if you produce and incur costs, okay, it would come as a cost, but it will get adjusted in the closing stock value. Okay, that's what normally happens. So there has been increase in finished goods inventory also if you look at first 6 months, okay, the next 3 months. So that is also another effect. So mainly because of higher level of marketing costs, in most of the other cases, operating expenses, if you remove the advertisement portion, okay, and as a percentage of turnover, actually there's a drop.
Okay. Fair enough. This is helpful. I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shalini Vasanta from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So we've seen the debt levels, go up across both short and long term. So could you give us the capex guidance for the next year and what sort of peak debt numbers can we expect over the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, Kumar, would you?
Yeah, okay. See, in the current year, broadly, if you look at our, in the first 6 months or the last 3 months, approximately about 220 crores is an increase in our debt level. Okay, and we also had in the current quarter, that is in quarter two, payment of about 73 crores of dividend. It is not a recurring event, it happens once a year. One, number two, the working capital, particularly the inventory, has also moved up in quarter two. Okay, so these are two reasons. In the past, till in the whole of last year almost, okay, we were able to deliver reduction in absolute working capital, whereas in the last two quarters or so, there has been an increase in working capital, which something which we're going to focus a little more in quarter three to deliver some reduction. As far as capex is concerned, okay, and our expected capex for the current year is approximately about 1,000 crores, project capex approximately, okay, and we have already spent a little over 300 crores in the first 6 months. Balance amount is what we would be spending. Okay, and as far as the following year is concerned, while we don't have any revised outlook, the outlook that we had given in the last quarterly call was, because now we will get to know the expected capex for the next financial year during our annual plan exercise that we normally do in the quarter four, beginning of quarter four. But assuming that the same, the capex would be around 700 to 800 crores in the next financial year, that would be the quantum of capex that we will have in the next whole of next financial year. And current year, I indicated to you, we are aiming for about 1,000 crores and little over 300 crores has been spent. So that is the kind of outlook that we have for capex.
Thank you, sir. And on the debt level, so what sort of peak debt number can we see during this period?
Okay, difficult to talk about the next financial year. Okay, and due to lower cash profit in the first 6 months, and also on account of increase in working capital, our debt level has increased in the first 6 months of the year, contrary to what happened. So our debt level as of 30th September is very equivalent to where we were in June 30th, 2020. So we've gone back to that particular level. Okay, in terms of peak debt, you know, as of now, we don't intend to cut our capex significantly for the next 6 months of the year. As of now, that's what our plan is. But it depends on how the current quarter goes. During the course of the quarter, we may still review and take necessary steps. We expect, you know, the debt to go up by a few hundred crores. Exact amount we're not able to tell you because it's linked to amount of our operating performance and operating cash flow. But certainly expect in the current financial year, in the balance 6 months of the year, it could go up by a few hundred crores.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. That helps.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Chirag.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So Anant, I just missed the opening comments. Just wanted to first understand the volume growth for the quarter.
Volume growth year on year or quarter on quarter?
Either way, so you can share it.
23% was our volume growth quarter on quarter, and year on year was about 9%.
Okay. 23%
quarter on quarter.
Okay. Thanks for this. My second question is on competitive intensity in general. So there were some apprehensions 6 months or 9 months back. Max is coming in two-wheelers and Apollo Tyres also trying to find a foothold. After the 9-12 months of their entry, what is the scenario today? Has profitability for the industry come down marginally, or profitability is intact and there could be some market share loss among players? That is how industry is stabilizing.
There has been some marginal drop in profitability in two-wheelers. This was about 4 years ago, there was quite a substantial drop at relative basis when there was a price drop taken at that point of time. And once again, I would say relatively in the last year, two-wheeler has seen a smaller price increase than other categories. But overall, we are happy with where we stand in terms of our market share. We have only maintained or gained our market share in the two-wheeler space. And we've also increased or have a very strong space in the two-wheeler EV space with respect to market share. It is higher in the EV space than even in the regular industry. So to that extent, I'd say competitive intensity is the same in two-wheeler versus other categories. It is no different. In fact, maybe marginally less, just because you have more players in the passenger car space.
And on the two-wheeler EV side, what kind of market share you would be having today?
See, it's still relatively a much smaller market, but it would be at over 50% levels.
Oh, this is helpful. Secondly, just a question for Subhaya. On this operating leverage, so we should assume that the costs have now normalized, right? And from here on, if volume ramp-up happens, operating leverage should be visible.
Yeah, true. Even in the current quarter, operating cost, if you exclude, advertisement costs, which could vary depending on when IPL happens, etc., we are seeing that leverage. Okay, so going forward, should the turnover go beyond 2,400 crores, okay, and you see that with the leverage on operating costs as a percentage of turnover.
Okay. So this is helpful. This is really helpful. Yeah. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the price increase. You talked about 4.5 to 5% price increase, 4 to 5% price increase in second quarter. So were you able to take price increase across all the segments, two-wheeler, PVs, TV buyers, TV radials?
Yes. This is the average across categories.
My question primarily was on the two-wheeler side, because that was one segment where we are seeing lesser price increase, especially on the motorcycle side of it. So just wanted to check whether we have been able to take price increase and it has been followed by the peers. So are we able to pass on the cost hike in that segment, which was not happening until a few quarters back?
Yes, so the 4.5 price increase includes some amount of motorcycle, as well as again a price increase in two-wheeler on middle of October by another 2.5%.
In October, when you have taken price increase on two-wheeler, it is also on the motorcycle or it's largely on the scooter side of it?
Both.
So basically, the key here is what I was trying to understand is, are you seeing any specific segment where the competitive intensity is much higher and where price increases are becoming a little more difficult? I can see that in October, you talked about the price increase in PV, two-wheeler and farm, but not in CVs. So do you think any specific segment where the intensity is higher, price increases are more difficult, or do you think it's relatively fine now given the kind of cost pressures you are seeing?
I can share with you a little bit on the demand side. I'm not sure if the price increase directly reflects on demand, but I would say that demand side, CV replacement is still under some amount of stress, particularly truck buyers.
Okay.
The other segments, there is sometimes we don't take the price increase exactly at the same time. Some may be in July, some may be in August. So it's relatively okay spread out.
Got it. Just one more thing. On the truck radial side, you had set up a capacity, you are setting up more capacity. Earlier, we used to have a low single digit kind of a market share. Where would we be on both the truck radial side and also on the passenger vehicle side in terms of a broad range of market share?
So on the truck radial side, yes, our market share was somewhere around 5% kind of numbers in the past. This would have come up to about 8 to 9% levels. On the passenger car side, from about 11-12%, we would be at about a 15%-ish kind of market share today.
And this 15% would be more skewed towards OEMs rather than replacement, because we were trying to penetrate OEMs much more aggressively.
No, we are kind of mixed at the same level as the industry. So about 40-45% being sold to OEM and about 55-60% getting sold to replacement in the passenger segment.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kale from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So my first question was regarding the volume growth you mentioned. If I'm not wrong, you mentioned that the replacement growth was, I think, flattish up to minor decline, and the OEM growth was pretty strong, I think 30% plus. One, is that correct? And two, if that is correct, then how do you see the replacement growth? Is it a case where last year, if I remember correctly, the replacement, there was a lot of pent-up demand and the inventory levels at the dealer's end was also quite low, and hence Q2 had seen a substantial growth on the retail as well as the wholesale side for SEAT as well as the industry? And hence, on that extremely high base, we are kind of flattish now. So in that context, how would we be, 1 year prior to that kind of level? Are we at least at those levels, or are we having a growth on those levels? And going forward, how do you see this YOY growth for replacement in the second half of FY22? Because, last year we had seen second quarter and third quarter extremely high growth, one because of the pent-up as well as the Chinese restriction of imports happening. So if we just throw some light on the replacement trajectory.
No, you're absolutely right. So last year, same time, replacement grew at a much faster pace and continued its growth trajectory into Q3 and Q4. So to that extent, we are on a high base, and therefore replacement growth on a year-on-year basis will be possibly at a low single-digit kind of numbers. At this time, the more important thing is our mix. So we will be selling, in my view, more of passenger car segment, which has been our focus area. Truck radial also we expect to grow much better versus last year. Where we will see a dip was truck bias. So if you compare even versus the year before that, usually truck bias is a segment where there is a shift in radialization happening. You see truck bias generally being flat to negative. But last year, truck bias was at maybe record high levels or some 5-6 year high levels. So to that extent, truck bias is what is letting slower levels of growth because it is a high value or high volume kind of category on its own. So that is a big shift that we have seen from last year to this year. But overall, on a year-on-year basis, growth in replacement will be a little bit lower at an overall level, led by truck bias showing negative growth.
Understood. And in terms of your PV OEM market share, you had aggressive plans of having market share gains in the OEM segment. How would you see that, currently in terms of, are those incremental orders largely in the base and from here we should settle, we should largely grow in line with the industry, or you still believe over the next 1 or 2 years you can significantly grow higher than the industry on the passenger car OEM tire segment?
No, we do feel quite confident on OEM market share on the passenger side. We would be at 15% plus levels with respect to market share in the passenger cars and UV passenger car space largely. So we do feel quite happy with that. We, for example, were part of the new Mahindra Bolero, the Neo launched on our tire in the last month or so. So to that extent, we are entering new OEMs and gaining market share in the OEM side.
Understood. Great, thanks and all the best. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant Vass from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alan. Thanks for the opportunity. So small clarification to your response to the earlier question. So is it right to assume when you mentioned that the utilization of bias is down, this is primarily the truck bias impact, which might be a like underlying demand slowdown issue, or do you think there is that pent up on the bias that has happened and that is an ongoing issue? Is it a demand-driven drop or is it just the pent up getting fulfilled and then the incremental demand?
So it is largely because of a high base of last year, which to me was a little bit abnormal. If you look, as I said, on a year-on-year basis, truck bias has been flat to maybe somewhere between 0 to minus 5% growth every year, because radial tires is what is growing at a faster pace. So last year, truck bias saw that substantial growth. People were moving more maybe towards the value segment because of the uncertainty that was happening. Some amount of pent-up demand last year where truck radial capacities also could not be supplied, and so truck bias also was selling very well. Now that has normalized, and therefore, I think we are seeing good growth in the truck radial segment, but truck bias has gone back to its normal rate of negative growth to a certain extent. If you take into account last year's very high growth, it is therefore showing a substantially higher negative growth in this year.
So what is truck radial growth at roughly today?
The truck radial would be growing at least for us at possibly 20%-ish kind of levels. I can just get back to you on the exact number, but year on year, we would be at 25% plus growth.
Understood. The second question is on your marketing spends and your trajectory on that. I heard Kumar saying that it's gone up by 70% quarter on quarter. So with scale accruing in quarter three, what is your thoughts on marketing spends both? And you also mentioned the Seat Shockies have been revamped. So can you shed some light how are you thinking about those spends this year and potentially next year?
So marketing, we generally try and maintain it at similar levels as a percentage of sales. There can be a minor change here and there, but we are continuing to invest in cricket, in IPL. Some amount of market, IPL was held coming on to October as well. So there will be some amount of the IPL cost impact with respect to October. But our marketing spend will not go up as a percentage of sale. It'll be at similar kind of levels is what we would like to maintain it at.
So when you say similar, you would say similar to pre-COVID percentages that you would
have. Yes, as a percentage of sales will continue at that level.
Understood. Third question is, I think probably you or Kumar can answer. On the people cost side, I think I heard Kumar mention about COVID spends not recurring. So hey, can you just remind us what was that spend for last quarter? And what is your trend of people cost that we should expect going ahead?
Yeah, Kumar, would you like to share?
Yeah, approximately about, we're spending about 5-6 crores per quarter on an incremental basis. Due to some COVID-related SOPs that we had to adhere to in our manufacturing locations. So and that amount came down in the month of September onwards. Okay, if things are okay under normal conditions, we would be spending much less. For example, we're providing transport facilities, and the number of people who are sitting in the buses were far lower, maybe 50% of what it was earlier, etc. So some of them we have relaxed a bit in quarter two. And third, also in quarter two, a little lower level of production towards the later part of quarter two, so leading to some reduction in employee costs, particularly on the contractual side. For you to make your own estimates, you can always assume in quarter one, as the base, and as and when we add people in factories and some annual increase. So about 175 was the kind of a number that we saw in quarter one. Okay, so as far as the current year is concerned, in that range, 175 to 180 could be a normal kind of a number at a higher level of operations in our manufacturing locations.
And with some of these capitalizations of new facilities coming on next year, will that meaningfully increase or should be nominal increase?
See, the amount of employee cost that we capitalize is very small. Okay, employee cost increases only when we add people for us. So whenever we ramp up production, okay, in general, we tend to add people at least 6 months in advance, 6 months before the real requirement. So from that point of view, we'll keep adding people, but capitalization will have limited relevance. More of commissioning of plants and ramping up production is what will impact. Okay, as we are already into the first month of quarter three, okay, the impact of employee costs in terms of additional people in the current financial year would be limited. But next year, if we see more need for ramping up production in new locations, you will see an increase. And we also have an annual increment cycle starting from 1st of July. So that increase also needs to be built in. So approximately 135 to 180 crores kind of a assumption for the current year for the balance two quarters is a reasonable estimate.
And Kumar, my last question is on your interest cost side. With your credit ratings also slightly improving on, what are your thoughts on your interest cost side? With the working capital also getting a little stretched on the first half. How are you thinking about that in the second half of the year and potentially next year?
Okay, we have made good progress in bringing the interest rate down. Overall, our cost of capital has undergone improvement in the last 12 months. Okay, whether it's long-term or short-term, we are generally able to borrow money at a competitive rate of interest comparable to credit rating of companies will be maybe one notch higher or two notches higher than us. Yeah, that's what it is. I think what is taking the absolute interest cost up is because of increase in overall debt. Okay. And while we are seeing an average rate of interest is coming down, so our plan is to bring in some efficiencies in working capital in the current quarter, particularly on the inventory side, and help improve our operating cash flow during the current quarter. But as we intend to spend close to about 1,000 crores of capex during the financial year, from that point of view, we expect our long-term debt, our overall debt, to move up by a few hundred crores in quarter four. So that may lead to higher amount of interest cost, but interest rate could still remain at the current level, but absolute interest cost could go up by about 10-12% over the current base.
Understood. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha Sheth from Anvil Share and Stocks. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, since we are concentrating more on OEM, over a long term, will our margins get affected? Because
we are not concentrating more on OEM or so we are, for us, we're going to be focusing on both OEM replacement as well as export market. In fact, the exports market for us has grown at the highest pace this year. But as we move more and more to the passenger segment, or move more means we aim for higher market share there, we expect the category mix to be favorable. And therefore, we feel that net-net, it will be margin accretive despite having 40% or so sale in OEM and 60% sale in replacement in the passenger segment.
Okay. So overall for the company over the next 3 years, what mix we are looking for, replacement, OEM and export?
We would be looking at about a 60% share in replacement, about similar levels, 25%.
Similar, OEM, okay.
And 15% export approximately.
Okay. And sir, just wanted a clarification. Can you please repeat the replacement and OEM growth for current quarter on quarter and year on year?
Right. So for the replacement market, year on year growth was 9%. Quarter on quarter growth overall was about 23%. Replacement, I'd like to repeat again. Overall replacement volumes grew by 23% on a quarter-on-quarter basis with 3% decline on a year-on-year basis. OEM volumes grew at 35% sequentially and 17% on a year-on-year basis. And exports grew at about 10% on a quarter-on-quarter basis and year-on-year at about 50%.
Okay. So, and overall volume growth is 23% quarter-on-quarter and 9% year-on-year.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. If I look at the presentation, in the first half, the farmers contributed 11% of sales versus 7% last year, and the specialty has contributed 4% of sales versus 7% last year. While we have said that farm has not done well and specialty has done very well, is there any mistake over there in the PPT?
I think there was a change in classification that we did. If I recollect right, can I get back to you on this?
Sure.
Yeah, there was a change in classification where we kept some part of farm outside, and we may have done that.
Okay, so is the specialty only exports, you mean to say?
So the farm exports has been reclassified from specialty to farm in FY22.
Okay, and
earlier the farm exports was part of specialty tires.
Okay, I got it. Secondly, on this working capital increase in the first half, is it more driven by raw material inventory or finished goods have gone up more?
Kumar, would you like to take that?
Yeah. It's a combination of both. Okay, and both have gone up, okay, and almost an equal proportion. Part of the increase is also because the value has gone up, but balance part is the volume of inventory that we are holding has also increased over 31st March. So the increase has happened on both.
Okay. And you plan to bring it down in the second half?
Yeah, true. That's true.
And lastly, can you provide some color on the inventory with dealers? Is it normal or more than normal? How are you looking at it?
Yeah, it would be at market rate is what we try and maintain it. I don't recollect the percentage right now, but we can get back to you on that. Kumar, do you remember?
Anand, there is no change in the level of inventory with the dealers. There has not been any significant change in the quantum of inventory that the market, the dealers hold in the given period.
And on TBR side, you mentioned that we've seen 25% volume growth. So is it like we are doing well because of the lower market share, or is the market also have done decently well in TBR in the last quarter?
Sorry, how has the market done in TBR in the last quarter in the replacement segment?
Yeah. You mentioned that you've seen 25% growth YOY in TBR volumes. So is it because of our market share though, that's why we are doing well, or even market have done better in that year?
I think both cases, but we had a relatively lower base. So we would have done better than the market with respect to overall growth. We grew well. A lot of the growth also came from OEM growth. So OEM base last year was very low. So it was led by OEM, followed by exports and then replacement.
So is the TBR replacement volumes up YOY? For us?
Yes, it is up. Strong double digit.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhartha Bera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. On the RM side, I just wanted to understand current commodity like crude prices are up sharply. So the RM inflation you are as indicating of 4 to 5% factors in the current prices, or do you think based on the current rates there can be more cost pressure going ahead up even after this?
So currently, as I said, in quarter three, we are seeing about a 4% kind of price increase overall on a raw material basket. There can be a little bit going on from quarter three to quarter four as well. So everything is not reflected yet because there's a little bit of a lag between crude and what is in our crude derivative products. So that may reflect in quarter four.
Okay, sir, got it. And second is on the price increases side. So if I see on a YOY basis, we have seen a very sharp increase in the prices. So do you think from here on, there is some impact which may happen on the demand side because we have to again take more price increases to offset the commodity cost pressure. So any thoughts you have, if you can share? And any segment where you think the demand might get impacted because of this?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult answer to give. I do feel that there is pressure on fleet operators because of tire as well as crude raw material pricing. Their profitability has got hit. Now, how much will it affect demand? Because overall, economy has relatively bounced back. People need tires, so maybe there can be some amount of retreading or delayed purchase a little bit, but difficult to quantify what will happen.
Oh, got it, sir. At least on the consumer side, do you think there will be longer replacement cycles or anything which some of these things can come into which can affect demand, or you don't think that is much of a possibility even on the consumer side?
No, I'm a little doubtful on the consumer side. I think the commercial segment is a little bit more sensitive, and passenger car should be okay.
Got it, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all very much for your interest in CS and your time today. We look forward to seeing you once again same time next quarter, and do stay safe and take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.